When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hashtag no music, no intro. Another episode of the Saints Flop Party Podcast coming at you. Little fun episode we have in store. That kind of started from our Discord, started from our conversation with our live show with our dude G. Shout out to G for joining us again. Lovely episode. Good to talk some football talk. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like, subscribe, hit the notification button so you get notified when we drop new episodes. If you're listening to this, please like, rate, all that, 5 stars. It truly, truly helps us out. And before we kind of dive into Saints stuff, I want to give a shout out and some love to my Uncle Ed. He sent me a huge, like a big ass care package of Saints merchandise, with him wishing me an early happy birthday. So want to give him some love. And as I'm getting close to, you know, becoming another year older, birthdays hit different when you've gone through some shit, right? And I've always listened to like not really care about my birthday. I didn't really celebrate. I didn't really want to talk on my birthday, and now it's like none of that shit is guaranteed. Like it is not guaranteed that you will make it another 365 days around the sun. So I definitely have stopped and take it in and appreciate what a blessing it is. So just wanted to give my uncle some shout out for the love. And so I know he and my grandma watch and listen to every episode. So
shout out grandma. Yeah.
Saints. A point that I wanted to bring up that was lost when we were talking on the live show, talking about Clint Kubiak becoming offensive coordinator is, and I said in the Discord, but like Clint Kubiak has been with the Niners for one season, but he's been with other coaches. He's been with Kevin Stefanski, who just won Coach of the Year, which is insane that he won Coach of the Year. Can we also just have a little segue and talk about how Joe Flacco won Comeback Player of the Year, but like DeMar Hamlin like was like dead on the field, and he the
Comeback Player of the Year is just one of the weirdest awards, bro.
It is, but also like if the NFL cannot tell you what they think about like black players, like I don't know what else will, bro. Like I don't like that. Yeah, Joe Flacco came in, he played really well. Yeah,
come on. I mean, to be fair, he did get benched though, so I was
I mean, he was almost like the walking, like he was dead on the field, Ryan. He was dead. Although the DeMar Hamlin is inactive tweets was I didn't need to know the weekly update, bro. I didn't. Anyway, getting to Clint Kubiak, he has been around good head coaches or you know, this is a perfect example of the Niners, right? They were down what 20 plus points or some shit like that in the NFC Championship game and came back and won. So I one of the things I'm just fascinated to like see and observe is like that first OTA practice, that first training camp practice. And because when you're a coach and you're around other good coaches, or what greatness that is, like a team organization fundamentally should look like, when you come from that, when you're not in a situation that's like that, like, it stands out very quickly to you.
Oh yeah. And I think he knows what it looks like. He was with Zimmer in Minnesota, because it was Gary Kubiak running the offense. Then Gary Kubiak stepped away or stepped down for whatever reason. So his son stepped up. Clint Kubiak took over. And that was like the 1 year. That was like the last year of Zimmer. He was on the hot seat. Right. You know what I'm saying? It was real.
Was that,
you know what I'm saying?
That, like, Kirk Cousins was like him, and like, he couldn't stand Kirk Cousins, and like, Kirk knew it, and like, he, Kirk Cousins came back and won a game and like gave him like a hug.
It was that year. It was the whole COVID. It was the COVID year. You know what I'm saying? Kirk didn't want to take the vaccine, something like that. All kind of stuff was going. You had the all night offensive line coach. He was just like, I ain't taking a jab. You know what I'm saying? All kind of stuff was going on. And I forgot the guy's name, but he was on the NOF podcast, and you know, he covers the Vikings or whatever, and he was talking about it. And he was talking about how Zimmer was just like a madman, bro. Like, it sounded kind of familiar when you hear it too. He was very involved in the offense, very involved in the offense, wouldn't let him run the things he wanted to run. You know, just, you know, super paranoid about how things are viewed in the building and stuff like that. I was like, damn, that sounds like the situation Clint Kubiak walking into. Damn. Like, coach on the hot seat. Like, I'm like, oh, man, this don't sound too good, bro. But it is interesting, especially coming back from the 49ers. And we'll see what they do if they win this Sunday, you know what I'm saying?
And we still got to figure out if we're going to have a Super Bowl live stream. But I'll ask you this. Who are you taking?
Oh, man, it's tough, bro. Like, I just can't count out Mahomes. I just can't do it. Him, Andy Reid, I can't do it. But I will say, the 49ers have the weapons to win. You know what I'm saying? Have the weapons to win. I've just been kind of disappointed in their defense. And, you know, Purdy, he's just kind of like kind of up and down, you know what I'm saying? Like, not consistent enough. And if Mahomes been anything, even if it's not his usual statistical amazing year, he's been consistent. Like, he consistent, has been that, bro. You know what I'm saying? So I'm go with the Chiefs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, can't be picking the 49ers and win the Super Bowl, bro. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Can't do it. Plus, fuck the 49ers.
Not just even respectfully. Not even respectfully.
No respect. No respect.
I've had to like explain this like to Jay, and since 2000, Super Bowl 2006. So let's say since almost 20 years, we have seen the Saints win a Super Bowl, and then we've seen them go to two NFC Championship games, both that they lost, one that they should have won. But I digress. She's seen her team go. This is the third time that they've been to the Super Bowl in almost 20 years. This is also a team that traded up in numerous draft picks and drafted a quarterback.
Unbelievable.
Not good. Unbelievable. Not good.
Unreal, bro.
That's like crippled. NFL is so fed up with Orion. You got owners saying, now, what are they got doing, promoting these blackies and these minority?
How are they getting all these cop picks? Mike McDaniels, is he really black? I ain't even.
Is he what really black? About Mike McDaniels, bro? Every time I see him, he's my black head coach. Look at him, bro. Black head coach. I wonder what Mike McDaniels is doing for Black History Month, bro. I want to know.
And the thing is, I mean, you got to give Kyle Shanahan, because this is almost a completely different 49ers team than went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. You know what I'm saying? It's a completely different team, and he's got them there. Look, he didn't win the last one, But they were up. They were up by what, double digits? I remember, and they, you know, fell to the end. But like to be able to do that, to get your team there twice, two different teams, bro. That's like
hard,
man. That's hard, bro.
And we can
hard,
and we can speak to how hard it is because we've seen how close our team has been to getting, like, you know, this past week's 14-year anniversary that the Saints won a Super Bowl. Bro, I was like, man, like, that was 2010. My daughter is almost 14. Like, that's how crazy it is because crazy, it was a month before she was born.
It's crazy. It's crazy, bro.
It's hard to win.
Man.
So, I'm just like, just try to like relish, like it's anyway, but I'm just the Clint Kubiak and kind of him coming in and seeing how the team is ran. And like, I think you kind of put it really perfectly in our Discord and just that it just feels like training camp. It's not like emphasized how it should be with the Saints under Dennis Allen. Like it seemed like they tried to do it better this year after it was completely lackadaisical his first year. Yeah, but even then, it's still, there's something missing. Like
Something ain't adding up.
It's not.
Especially from the training camp tweets and reports we see and all that. It's like, ooh, it was emotion and it, AK and the pass game and this and that. Then we get to the regular season. It's like,
I remember, was it OTAs or training camp? And they posted that video of AK just working out and he had his little, had his burst back. And
I'm not falling for it this year.
Not me. No, sir. I don't care if they go 4-0 in the preseason and they're blowing out teams. I don't care, Ryan.
Don't care.
Wake
bro.
Me up when it's week one.
Please.
If you're a fan of this show, you're listening to this podcast, don't fall for the trap. Do not fall for the trap. I held out as long as I could, and it was that first defensive drive and first offensive drive against the Chiefs, bro. And I was like, all in.
Let's go.
Baby. Never again.
There's a little YouTube show that I did like before the season. It's like, can Saints offensive line be elites? Like elite? They had like 7 sacks in week one. Like,
shout out to Trevor Penning. I hope Derek Carr and his family's watching this episode. I wore this just for them. I'm kidding. It was a gift that my uncle said, but I saw it.
It's fresh though. Like, oh. That thing clean.
Fresh, bro. Fresh.
That thing clean. I always did like them.
So our idea for this episode that kind of came from our Discord, just talking, is just how can we, if Ryan is a GM, I'm a GM, we're both independent GMs. How can we make this Saints team's contenders? And it's hard to do that separating talent on the field away from coaching. Like it feels like it's kind of impossible to do that.
So,
but a perfect example is Todd Bowles, right? I know I feel like he kind of like Todd Bowles as a coach kind of gets a little elevated a little high, like in like the football media. I don't think he's that great of a head coach. I do think he's quite a bit better than Dennis Allen in some ways, but like they're probably not super, super far apart from each other in terms of like coaching acumen. Maybe I could say, DA's fucking terrible. DA's fucking terrible. Anyway,
terrible, bro.
Terrible. But he was able to get to the divisional round of the playoffs against the Lions and the Bears. Sorry, and the Bucks. The Bucks were looking pretty feisty in that game, as you know, up until halftime as well.
He was able to identify what was the offensive coach name?
David Canales.
Yeah. He was now head coach. He was able to identify that and coach bring him in. Baker Mayfield,
first year OC.
Yeah, and get the play. He's a defensive coach. Got the offense to be decent enough. Had the defense solid enough. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, props to Todd Bowles. I don't think he's a great head coach, but he was able to do that, you know?
Right. So I want to talk about this and make this game plan, not to like, how can the Saints get to the wild card round? How could this team be constructed where they could legit be in at least contenders on some level, right?
This year or just like both moving forward?
Both. Why not both? One of my favorite gifts I use all the time now. So I as I was watching Law and Order downstairs, I had a notepad out. I was going through Over the Cap, going through some things. I got into a little bit. Bro,
I didn't even know we was doing this topic. So it was...
Go on, man.
No, bro. I'm like, what are we gonna talk about tonight? That was...
It's gonna be my plan, not Ryan's plan.
gotta communicate these names, man.
Oh, you know what probably happened is that like I had said it or whatever in the Discord, but I didn't like text you about it, so that's my bad. So it's ain't no thing. But man, the Kubiak signing was like, all right, like there's this glimmer of hope. There's just like mm-hmm. And I didn't get in my head. I was like, okay, at least it's not Gruden. Check. And that little bit of like, okay, optimism kind of stayed with me for about a day, 2 days. And then like I hear what the Saints might get back. I should just say when, not even if, when they trade Marshawn Lattimore, bro. And it went out the window, bro. Just out the fucking window. Just the level of aggression that the Saints are doing in the front office and their management of assets is just, I don't understand it. So if you're a fan of this episode of this podcast, if like I'm trying to be preemptive by saying like, please don't get upset if whatever your expectation of what they potentially should get for Marshawn Lattimore is not in regards to like reality of what they actually might get for Marshawn. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say anything more than that. Just creating a whole nother hole on the defense for what reasons? Well, I know what reasons, but I don't understand it, Ryan. I don't get it. You put that picture in the Discord of AK and Marshawn. Oh, I was a little heated at you, bro. I should have been. You didn't even do anything.
It just came across the timeline. I was like, damn, boy, that was good times right there, boy. Because the Texans, they had C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. Win both, offensive and defensive rookie of the year. I'm like, damn, we did that once.
That was 7 years ago, Ryan. Oh my god,
is it? Damn. Yes.
I just did the math in 7 years. Holy shit. So we'll talk about. We could just talk about my plan, and you is anything comes to you. But I'll start there and say like my number one thing on my plan says do not trade Lattimore, Alvin Kamara, or Taysom Hill. Like that is number one on my plan. If you are going to be contenders, those should be non-starters. And again, this is more of a plan. If I was the GM, not actually what the Saints may actually do. Please be aware of that.
Purely hypothetical.
Yes. My next thing I said, and you've brought this up, is figure out how to actually salvage Trevor Penning's career.
Yep.
It's crucial.
Whatever you got to do.
And whatever it is that he did that put him in the doghouse, because at this point it absolutely is like he is in the doghouse. This is not strictly a performance-based thing. Grow the fuck up and get the fuck over it. Like,
please.
Like, what are we doing? Did you see the Derek Carr float?
Float, of course, bro. I retweeted that thing. People was adding Derek Carr and everything. I love it because you know you're looking him and his bro. And family and everybody. Family. Else.
They looking at that. They also looking at that Supreme Court hearing. Anyway, resign Andres Pete. Which is it's crazy how like that is like a key cog for their offseason. Because if
you're talking to that agent right now,
bro, because if they don't resign Pete and whatever with Penny and still linger, bro, that makes them, that paints them where they pretty much have no fucking choice except to draft an offensive tackle.
Exactly. He's a must.
A must. Andres Pete is a must in 2024, Ryan. What a time to be alive, bro.
Musty.
What a time to be alive. I also said re-sign Zach Bond and use him properly. So put a 1 year deal on the table, you know, and say, hey, we fucked up.
We fucked up.
Like at the end of the hangover, bro. Like we fucked up. And just say, make it happen. Like, now, if it becomes a bidding or there's like another team that wants it, then you let them go and you just eat it. But that's what I would do.
It's like, money don't cost no money, man.
None. I said, these are just little, like, you know, on the edges things. Mm-hmm. Resign Isaac Yiadom. It's crucial, regardless of what happens with Marshawn for the Saints. But I'm saying, even if I was keeping Marshawn, which I would, I'm still bringing back Isaac Yiadom.
Oh, yeah. He played just for a depth piece. Yep,
he played some great snaps and completely kind of came out of nowhere.
He did.
I also said, which is crazy, I put this down. I said re-sign Jonathan Abram and Lonnie Johnson. Both moves that probably wouldn't cost a whole bunch. I didn't put this on the list, but I should. I would cut Marcus May, absolutely. And like those last two-ish games that Jonathan Abram played, like he has. If you find like a role for him, like you kind of mentioned, like a PJ Williams role, but like he has a specific set of skills, as you always say with PJ Williams, bro. Like
that's it.
He has skills. Utilize him with those skills. And then this would kind of be, I guess, in theory, kind of be if Yiadom was resigned, but he didn't play a lot of the slot. But I said bring in some competition for Alante.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You can't go into next season in my GM world. Well, I got Marshawn, so in theory that would mean Alante would still be in the slot. But reality, if the Saints win, the Saints trade Marshawn, that situation may change where maybe Alante may not need to be in the inside anymore. Maybe he can move back out to the outside. But that said, I'm still bringing in some type of competition, some degree, for him. Because he has regressed. Now, is that on Alante? Is that on coaching? I don't know. But it's interesting because I remember being at that joint practice with the Chargers. And he, you know, as corners do, he got beat for some plays. But like when he had reps that like looked, I can't even describe how insanely great those reps were for like the cornerback position. Like flew, like everything. Mm-hmm. Tall, like he had the Drake dick on him, that tall and lean bitch, but I don't know if it was a confidence thing. I don't know where it stems from. I don't know where you know. And he's playing a position that he didn't know the slot. So
didn't even do it in training camp. Hey. Yeah, I'm just saying.
All right, so that's like just the Saints free agents. Now we get into free agency. Now I know people are going to be listening to this and be like, "Well, the Saints don't have money or not." I don't care. I'm the GM. If it was me, I'm hitting Kai up. I say, "Hey, figure this out.
Run them spreadsheets, brother. Run them spreadsheets.
Tax season is upon us. This is where you shine."
Like, call Gail, get the checkbook out.
Right, so, first order, not my first, but the way it's written down, or I typed it up. I'm going to Jake Browning and signing him as the backup quarterback.
Ooh.
And then training camp, I'm having an open competition at quarterback. Jake Browning, ooh. Derek Carr, Jake Haner. Whoever was the best quarterback who performs all throughout the offseason will be the starting quarterback for the team week one. That's what I'm doing.
I love it. I love it.
And then second thing I said is I said I would sign not both, but one of either Gus Edwards or Cordero Patterson. We kind of alluded to Cordero Patterson last time when we were talking, when we had you in the live show. Cordero Patterson has shown that he has juice. Now, Arthur Smith used that juice for one season, then like they drafted Bijan, so I get that. But there's something there as a player. Or if you don't want to go the Cordero Patterson route, go with Gus Edwards. You need a running back.
Yeah.
You need a running back in that type of mold. Not you can't depend on Kendre until you see it. On my version of the team, they have AK, but I'm going out. I'm seeing if Gus Edwards wants to come. He's used to playing for teams that have running back by committee.
Would you cut Jamal Williams?
Yes. Yes. That's on the list too. Gone. Bye.
Me too.
Love your anime. Go to some anime expo conventions and what have you. See you later. Bye. This is my big move. Technically, it's two big moves. That's why I'm telling Gail, I don't care. Spin big on T. Higgins and A.J. Epenesa. Both.
Ooh.
Not one. Both.
Ooh.
Mm. These are not moves that are for winning next season or Derek Carr. These are moves that help your team long term. And no matter who the quarterback is, it's for the overall future of the team. I know the T. Higgins one seems a little like, well, why would they sign T. Higgins, blah, blah, blah. Listen, on the football field, you want, from the wide receiver position, you want, you know, I think Bucky Brooks have said it best. Like, you want basketball players. You want different, you know, skill position players to kind of, you want like a fast explosive guy. You want like a possession, like a, you know, a four or five big guy. Obviously the relationship between the Saints and Michael Thomas, well, I don't even know if it's even the Saints and Michael Thomas, really like Michael Thomas and Derek Carr and Robert, and also Dennis Allen is frayed. And even though I know, more than likely that Mike wants to be back in with the Saints and stays in New Orleans, it's not likely to happen. You're going to need a big receiver, and T. Higgins, when Jamar Chase has been healthy and hurt, looks like a number one wide receiver. He just absolutely looks like a number one wide receiver. He's a dog. He's the same person, same player that he was at Clemson. He's the same person. Like, he was my number one wide receiver that year that he declared. And obviously Justin Jefferson has outplayed him. But like, T. Higgins is also, like I said in our Discord, he's the second best wide receiver from that class. Like, it's not even close. And so I'm signing him. My wide receiver core would be T. Higgins, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and A.T. Perry. That's my core. That's my core four.
Good. Young, good. Good. You know what I'm saying?
Now, like, obviously what the, you know, issue, I'm not thinking long-term issue, but the issue later that you're going to run into down the line is that Chris Olave is going to need a contract. And at that point, depending on how long you sign T. Higgins for, blah, blah. Then at that point, you probably let T. Higgins walk and whatever. Like, that, it's just smart. A.J. Epenesa. This team has missed repeatedly at the defensive end edge rusher position. Repeatedly. Marcus Davenport, Peyton Turner. Isaiah Foskey is a question mark, but until I see it, he's on the list. Why? At some point, you had to just say, you know what? Just kind of like with linebacker with DeMario, is like, man, we can't do this. Like, we can't draft him. We can't do it. We can't draft him. Yep. That's why Bill Belichick, like, you know, at some point he just stopped with New England, bro. He just started signing like free agent wide receivers. Cause he's just like, I can't identify it. So at least he like knew that was a blind spot for him. The Saints need to admit that they at this point cannot identify and draft defensive ends. AJ Epenesa was drafted by the Bills. If you just watched him in Bills games, he always was one of those players that was like ascending. He make like good plays, but that Bills line has a lot of picks invested on it. So he didn't get like a whole bunch of playing time. Like, that to me, like, that's a player that, and he's a pass rusher, so he's gonna cost money. No matter if he was a part-time pass rusher, he's gonna cost money. Go sign him when he is young and coming off a 4-year deal, and just slot him in to be one of your starting defensive ends.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then whatever you get from Peyton Turner and Isaiah Foskey at that point is extra and cherries on top.
Yeah.
I said sign John Pisano from the Niners. So Clint Kubiak is now the offensive coordinator. Sounds like he would have a lot of intel of a player who has played guard. Like he's played guard for the Niners this season. He's got his chance to play because the starting guard gets hurt. He fills in and then he starts outplaying the starting guard, the former starting guard. Shout out to Jay for that info. And he's been decent to good. I say signing him because I don't want to go into next season relying on James Hurst for anything. You want to bring James Hurst back for a cheap little 1-year deal? Fine. But in a perfect world, the offensive line would probably look like Trevor Penning, John Fiziano, Eric McCoy, Cesar Ruiz, and then whatever happens with Ram. So if he retires, then I would start by seeing if Landon Young can hold it down. That's me. But that's where I would start. Or if Pete comes back and Trevor Penning can play, you know, come back and be a solution, then you can have Pete maybe be at left tackle and then put Trevor Penning at right tackle. Figure it out. I don't care. Figure it out. My last two for the free agency, and then I want to finish with the draft. And I know why he's a free agent, or he's going to be a free agent, because his fifth-year option wasn't picked up. I'm going to try to sign Jordan Brooks, former linebacker from the Seahawks.
Yeah, I like that.
He got injured. He got a pretty nasty injury. It's so funny because he was drafted from Texas Tech. I watched his tape when he was a prospect, thought he was like, there was a lot, like he was very athletic, but like, I didn't see like actual, like good line, like a lot of good linebacker play. And so he got drafted in the first round. That shocked the shit out of me. But like probably about year two, year three, whatever the vision that Pete Carroll saw for him, you start to see it. Like, he is a explosive athlete at the linebacker position. He started like to be like an ascending player. Then he got I don't know what the injury is, but he got injured Yes, I believe. But he's going to be a free agent. Those are the free agents that you want to sign, where it's like a player's injured. And I get it. As Saints fans, we kind of like to stay away from players that are injured, but there's that risk reward too. Of sometimes if it's a smart signing, it could have big dividends. And
right.
I don't want to rely on Pete Warner for a whole season. DeMario Davis getting older. And Ryan has said this repeatedly. The defense needs speed.
Yes. It
needs speed. Jordan Brooks would bring that speed. Finally, shout out to our dude Brock for bringing this up in our Discord. He said, who's going to be like the Saints, like signing like goodwill player, you know? Oh, look, guys, we signed Jimmy Graham. Mm-hmm. We're good. Goodbye. Oh, Jarvis Landry and Honey Badger. And you said, I don't know if you said or Brock said it, bring Thomas Morstead back, bro. Bring back.
Yeah, Brock said it, man. That'd be dope. I thought that was like,
that's perfect. It would be great because it's a need. It's a need.
He already got. He down here for Mardi Gras too. You just bring him right in right now.
Don't let him leave. Don't let him leave. In the draft, I only did the first round because at that point, I mean, I don't really know anything much. I said, draft Latu at 14 or draft Brock Bowers. And I even put move up for Bowers if needed. So they don't have a lot of picks. So they would, if it takes a fourth to move up to secure Brock Bowers, I don't give two shits. Do it. Because then you, with this offseason plan, there's been an injection of youth to the team, speed, athleticism, and those are, and to the best of my ability, I tried to. It hits on areas of need of the team. Cause then, yes. So then you, if they did this in theory, my offseason plan, if I was GM, then in the draft, if you can draft the Brock Bowers, because then at that point, technically the holes should be filled. Or maybe Bowers gets drafted a lot earlier than people think. Maybe the Chargers do draft him, which a lot of mocks have him. If Latu's there, then if you draft Latu and then you signed AJ Epenesa, in theory, that's your future at edge rusher. Cam gives you in his, you know, twilight of his season, whatever Peyton Turner gives you, whatever Feisky gives you, that's fine. But at least your starting edge rushers
is a young nucleus. Young nucleus because 2025, Cam gone. Peyton Turner gone. So now you got your young nucleus. You got Brian Brisee. You know, you still got Carl Granderson locked up. Now you got a young defensive line ready to cook.
Come on, bro.
So just team saying. Building, bro. Just team building.
I did that in about like 5-6 minutes, just going through over the cap, bro. Like it's not, and I say it's not hard because obviously it is, but I think we talk about this all the time. Like the Saints desperately lack at times an ability to self scout and to like scout other players,
right. But definitely self-scout, you know. Get rid of the sunken cost fallacies. Be willing to let go when things aren't there.
Bro, I could already hear them saying, well, we're doing that with Trevor Penning, but y'all don't want to. Can I hear it, right?
It already is, bro. Any trades you'd be open to as far as players from the Saints, you would be willing to trade to gain assets?
That's a good question. I would say this, just because of all the hubbub of trading Lattimore. One, I know this is not feasible. Like, it's just not feasible. But let's go to a fantasy world. If there was a team that was willing to trade the Saints a low 2024 first round pick, whether that be the Lions, that could be the Niners if they lose the Super Bowl and fucking Rice is out there just abusing their secondary and they feel like, you know what I mean? Like teams do desperate things, right? If I could get a low first round pick in this draft, I would be open to trading Lattimore only on the condition that potentially, and I'm not saying that it would be likely, that maybe that's ammo to move up for a quarterback. Although I think it would take more than just like 14 overall and like what, 31 or 32 overall. Right. I think it would cost more than that, but right. I would do it if I knew that getting that pick, I could move up I would have to kind of know that either I can move up and already pre-draft and move up ahead of time like the Niners did, but I couldn't do it just on a whim that one of them may drop a little bit and then I could trade up, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I would see what a lot team would fetch. Not that I want to trade him, but I would be curious to just put feelers out there. What would he get? What would he get? He was a second round pick. It's like I wish he played outside last year so the league would be able to see what he could do outside. But you know, I mean, there are smart defensive people out there. They were.
You know what's funny? I think I can say this now. The Ravens called about him.
Mm-hmm. I remember you said that.
During preseason. It is so funny because like you could like he just feels like a Ravens player. Does he not, bruh? Like like a match made in heaven. And so the funny thing is, I don't know what they was, what potentially that they were offering for Alante, but whatever it was, it definitely ain't that now. Like, and I don't know what it was. Right. But like that, like, it's one of those things where, maybe they should have, like, you know, the iron, they should have like struck while it was hot potentially. Yeah. Maybe, but yeah.
And also just from a, you know, buy low, sell high point of view, even with Paulson Adebo, does the team plan on paying him? You know what I'm saying? Because after this season coming up, you gotta pay him. You know what I'm saying? If he has another season like he just had,
he can pay.
It's gonna be 20 plus million a year. You know what I'm saying? Do you want to pay Paulson Adebo that? I don't know. I don't. That's up to the team. But if you're having reservations about it, now is the time to strike, because maybe you can get a high second round pick for him. You know what I'm saying? And you know, that's something you could use. But that's just something, you know, I'd be open to it. I'm saying I go and like, I got to get rid of this player, but it, you know, put feelers out and just see what's out there. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Anything that you can just that you can think of that you would either add, change, or if it was Wolf's plan?
My plan definitely is in free agency is to bring in a linebacker, whether that's, who's that, Azeez Alshire or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Him.
He also has that pedigree of being a 49ers former linebacker. So he's like, we're good, Ryan. We're good.
Exactly.
You said it perfect. In the Discord, you said, bro, like whoever, how they scout linebacker, bro, like bring that person in.
Just bring that person. I don't care who it is. Just find out who that is. I'm like, man, come.
Clint,
come
bring him with you. Please, Clint. Please.
I want to know. But I really feel like they should address linebacker in free agency, because those guys are pretty cheap. Even like the really good ones, they don't get paid a ton of money. You could make some money moves and, you know, sign a guy just for when, if Werner doesn't reemerge, you can improve. I just feel like you can improve that linebacker position. DeMario Davis will not last forever. He will not last forever. I love him to death, but he just won't
do it.
You just gotta have a plan there. And just like we talked about, add speed to the defense.
I said this in the Discord, bro. You know Devin White gonna be out there. I'm just saying, Ryan. I'm just saying.
Devin White, man. I don't even know why I don't like Devin White. It's not even really the James thing.
I think I saw it. It's something about him, bro.
I just don't like that dude, bro. You know, but look, he's a good linebacker, bro.
He's a good linebacker if you don't ask him to cover.
Right.
So looking at this, right, I'm on overthecap.com, and they do kind of like a evaluation, potentially like what a player's contract should be. So I'm on Jordan Brooks. They say like Jordan Brooks' evaluation, and I know he's coming off injury for, this was 2023. It's like 4.6 mil, Ryan. Like that to me just screams like buy low type of move. And like when you're a team like the Saints that is so pressed against the cap as much as they usually are, but like we've said, like if you're gonna be pressed against the cap, you gotta be winning. Like you gotta be good.
Exactly. All right. Hustling backwards, man. My thing is I really just, for this team to really change things, they just really need to just change how they operate. You know what I'm saying? Like, even before you get to the talent on the field, which is, you know, another thing, they just need to change how they operate, bro. Like, I don't know if winning is the number one focus in the building.
You know? Doesn't seem like it is. Seems like job preservation is. Yeah, or being right.
Exactly. Michael Lombardi calls it guarding your desk. You know what I'm saying? Like, so many people in many of these buildings are just guarding their desk. Like, I just want to keep my desk. You know what I'm saying? Just doing whatever it is. I just got to keep my job. Just got to keep my job. And I feel like that's happening with the Saints. I just think they really need to be proactive in bringing in smart people. You know, Clint Kubiak is a start. They let go of Ronald Curry. Side note with the Ronald Curry thing.
I forgot. Come on.
This kind of annoyed me. And it's not that Ronald Curry left, because we saw that coming. They bring in a new OC. He's going to bring in his own guys. But they interviewed him to be the OC.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to... After offering Clint Kubiak, they offer Ron Curry to be the wide receiver coach after being the pass game coordinator for a season. That shit just rubbed me wrong, bro. It rubbed me wrong. It just rubbed me wrong. Like, just let me go. You know what I'm saying? Just let me go. Don't slap me in the face like that. You know what I'm saying?
Don't patronize me.
Don't patronize me. It's like, Okay, I was the Rooney Rule checkbox. I get it. You know what I'm saying? But then you're going to slap me in the face with like a demotion? No. And, you know, props to him. Fuck out my face. Like, props to him. He went to, you know, Buffalo. He's going to be like a quarterback coach up there. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully he succeeds or whatever.
Man, he go from coaching Derek Carr to coaching Josh Allen. Which I guess, maybe mindset-wise, personality-wise, or probably the same. But talent-wise, on the field, completely different.
That shit just annoyed me, man. Just like, what the... 30, black coach, bro. You 30. Black coach, bro, you got to be exceptional in this league. Especially offensively. You have to be exceptional. Exceptional.
The Eric Bieniemy thing, but it's like... At some point, man, I was like, man, is he going on owner's desk and like shitting on him when he in interviews, bro?
Just from what I hear from people that like that worked around him or whatever, he's a hard nose, he's a dick, he's an asshole. You know what I'm saying? Like, he grinds players.
Is that not Jim Harbaugh?
Hey, like I said. Black coaches got to be exceptional, bro. Got to be exceptional. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to win the media. You got to have, like, an outstanding scheme. Players got to love you. You can't have no dirt on your resume. Like, you got to be exceptional, bro. Like, it's
you
crazy.
Said it perfectly, bringing up Byron Leftwich.
Crazy, bro. And people would break every excuse. They're like, oh, but he had Brady. I'm like... Josh McDaniel? Like, hello? Like, Josh McDaniel ain't pretty, too. Like,
this man was, like, cooking up offensively for the Bucks, bro. And I Bruce Arians annoys the shit out of me, but one thing about Bruce Arians he was going to do is he was trying to put, black coaches in coaching positions that they get elevated.
Women,
like,
too,
he was,
bro.
Yeah, he was big on both of those. And Byron Leftwich went from a person who was like maybe going to take like the Jags job, but he didn't want to work with Trent Baalke. He wanted to bring in his own GM and wanted to bring in Andre Wilson. And, you know, the Cods were just like, nope.
Negro, you better know your place, boy. Now you're out the league.
Out the league, Ryan.
Out the league, bro. Was a good quarterback for
Super Bowl. In the NFL.
And out the league, bro.
Won a Super Bowl as an OC, but yet Kellen Moore and fucking Greg Roman are still getting jobs out.
Fucking Mike Sullivan out here getting interviews.
During Black History Month, Mike. Give me hot.
Be exceptional, man. You can't be okay. You have to be exceptional.
No. You can't. No, man. You can't just be okay. I mean, come on. We talking about it. Kevin Stefanski was coach of the year. The Texans drafted third overall last year. Like, this is also the coach that beat him, like, deep dicked his team in the playoffs with DeMeco Ryan. I don't know, bro. But what does that tell you, though? Right? If we get into this is a whole different podcast. But since we own it, right? Yeah. With Black History Month, who makes those votes?
Mm.
That's the media.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. We talked about that a long time ago, right? On this podcast, you know.
Okay, all right. Just filling some things out, Ryan. Just
going to the Senior Bowl. Going to the Senior Bowl. You're looking around. You're like, dang.
white up in this bitch.
Quite an interesting place. You know what I'm saying?
I will never forget when we went to the Senior Bowl. The second day, I had went. So Jim Nagy does like a opening, you know, press conference, what have you, and then usually the two biggest players, prospects of who's at that Senior Bowl, you know, has a little press conference, what have you, and you get to ask them questions, whatever. And I was there, and I just remember one thinking like, holy shit, like I'm on the fucking Senior Bowl. Like I remember being on draft count, like it. It was surreal. And I know when we were able to go back another time, it'll be surreal again. But I remember sitting in one of those chairs and I was just looking around. I was just like, shit, ain't nobody got this bitch looking like me, bro. Like it was like, I could probably count on one hand how many Black people I saw sitting down.
Ross Jackson.
Yep, Ross. Not even Black, just people of color, right? And then women-wise, it's part of the problem, right? Like, but time out, bro. We getting deep in the weeds in this bitch. Deep in the weeds. Anything you're really wanting to see, or you're kind of waiting to see happen these next couple of, you know, days or anything regarding the Saints?
Number one, I want to see the official hiring of Clint Kubiak. I'm like, oh, I know Bill Johnson situation tonight. You know what I'm saying?
could you imagine?
If something
happened to the Super Bowl, and after it, like Kyle Shanahan talks to Clint, he says, "Hey, Clint, listen, man, I'll give you some type of promotion, up your pay, but like, I really need you here. Like, you've been such a crucial part of what we built here. Like, I, you know, we are so close to winning a Super Bowl. I can't see you going somewhere right now. We're so close. I can feel it." And Clint's like,
"Oh my God, bro.
No, it'd be no way, Ryan. There ain't no way that can happen, bro.
I don't know. We'll be calling old Sully, Mike Sully.
What's going on, brother? I kind of want it to happen just for them to grovel back to Ronald Curry, bro. Hey, Ron, we fucked up. Nah, but yes, an official signing would be great.
Get that official signing, and let's fill the staff out. Let's see what that's going to look like. And I'm just so fascinated by this whole Clint Kubiak situation. Because, like, it seems like everybody assumes he's bringing the Kyle Shanahan offense with him. But it's like, we don't know, bro. Like, we don't know what he's – of course, right. He's going to have some influences from there. There's a great article I put in the Discord and retweeted yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. That
goes into what the Shanahan offense is. Mm-hmm. And how it's evolved over time. You know, even with the branches, the coaches that break off, you know, the McVays and – Daniels and all those guys, they kind of evolving into their own things. So I'm interested to see what the Kubiak offense is. Not so much, you know, his version of the Shanahan offense, but what does he bring? You know what I'm saying? You talked about how you watched, you know, the Vikings, some snaps, and you didn't see much motion. You know what I'm saying? You
was like, I didn't.
And I might be, he won't do that, but, right. You know.
And I might be a sicko this weekend and watch some 2021 Vikings offense to get like have more of an idea, and maybe that can be like a little like Patreon like little episode of like what I don't take grind anymore, bro. It's not in me. Not that I'm not good at it.
It's just too much going on, bro. We got too much life. Too much life,
bro. Life. Then I gotta come home and watch all 22? Nah, bro. It ain't. No. But like we said on the live show, this is the first time in almost 20 years that the Saints will have a completely different offense, which is wild. So because of the occasion, I feel a little inspired a little bit to be like, let me. Mm-hmm. But what Clint Kubiak did in 2021, after he's been with Kyle Shanahan, he's been with different coaches, what he called plays then may not be the same thing that, you know what I'm saying? So right. I don't know how much of an actual accurate description and picture that would give you.
Right. Yeah. So it's all just speculation on our point up until we see actual proof of what's happening. You know what I'm saying? I look forward. I mean, there probably won't be no introductory presser for like an OC or nothing like that. So, you know, we won't even hear from him until probably mini camp or something like that. So it's just going to be interesting, man, just trying to figure out what he's going to do, especially with the run game. He's a pass game coordinator. He's more of a QB pass game guy. You know, what's his ideas in the run game? What can he bring? They need to, like, the thing about the wide zone and the stretch zone and all that stuff, like, the Saints run outside zone and stuff like that. They just don't do it well. Like, you have to have right. coaches in there that know how to teach it, because it's very technical. Everybody has to be in unison. It's not just let me beat the guy in front of you type of shit. It's like you have to stretch. One guy gets on the outside shoulder of the defensive tackle while one guy attacks this part. It's very technical. I've been trying to trying to study it myself just to try to, you know, be able to visualize it. So it's going to be interesting that, one, they bring in guys that can teach it, and two, that they give those guys the opportunity to teach it in OTAs, mini camp, and training camp, because it will take reps. It will take time to develop that. And it's, man, this DA, boy, DA, you got to learn from your mistakes, bro. You got to look back and say, what did I do wrong? Just have some humility instead of Please. Being so defensive and, you know, and, oh, we close, so we just got to do this and do that, and we go get to the playoffs. No, man, have some humility and look at what you've done wrong the past yeah. 2 years. Going back to your Raiders days, look at what you've done wrong and try to improve on that, man.
It's necessary, man. It's so necessary for that to happen. Because if not, then they're just destined to fail. If that doesn't happen, they're destined to fail. There's one more point I want to make before we head it out, and this point. Someone in our Discord who's a Patreon said that, like, he heard, like, you know, a birdie that potentially the Saints may be wanting to do their training camp in Southern California and not in Louisiana.
That'd be fascinating, because I think they are doing work on the Saints headquarters during training camp or something like that. So I could see it.
Ooh. I'm just there for pictures, bro. That's all I'm there for. Everything else, like, not. I'm there for the content for the podcast, bro. Because I want us. Like, if that happens, I want us to be putting out content that people be like, "Ooh, Patreon, the resolution on that bitch," right? But do you have like any thoughts about it if that were to happen?
Not really. I mean, I think it's fine. Look, I mean, obviously the weather gets talked about. Hopefully they'll be able to work on stuff more when they're not in the freaking hellish heat in Southern Louisiana, you know? I know that'll be the selling point. They'll be like, yeah, we'll be able to work things more because, you know, the weather, blah, blah, blah. We'll see. But other than that, I mean, I don't really have a major opinion on it.
Anything, I feel like you're making even more lackadaisical, bro. Like, I know. If you lackadaisical in the hot ass heat, she's like, "Who is this? You got a breeze?" Not even that. Yeah. Like, anyway,
Southern Cal do that to you, bro. Shit,
it does, legit.
I was sitting on that beach, bro. Man. That wind was blowing. I was like, man, I could just lay right here,
It, for a second, you understood, like, why people come and pay obscene prices
I immediately understood. I was like, this is why people just love California. Why they write songs about California. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is why.
It is. I want to say this at the beginning. I didn't. Draft party, April 25th. We're having a second annual draft party. You must be a Patreon to attend. I will start getting a head count early March to kind of have an idea how many people will be attending. So please, once that comes, RSVP. We also have Saints Block Party zip hoodies that are on sale. They're $50, white or black. Derek Carr, if you want a white one, just hit me up. I'll make something happen. But I think that's it. We'll do a live show this weekend. We'll have someone else from the community join us and just talking Saints and just talking football and just talking life. It ain't gotta be about the Saints, right? Don't gotta be about Saints. But thank y'all so much for listening and just supporting us. Like, this is like the dead, like, it's not dead yet because the Super Bowl is on Sunday, but it is going to be dead soon. And then March, well, then the combine fills a gap, like a big gap for a bit. And then March, we wait for free agency, and that's when the juices start to run. People call it hope season, but I will call it wait and see season. That's why this is last year we're saying hashtag on paper. This year we're gonna say, what, you know what? Show me. That's show hashtag. Me. Hashtag show me.
I say hashtag no excuses too. first season was hashtag continuity. Second season was hashtag no excuses. This season no excuses too.
No excuses. electric.
We really mean it this time. No excuses.
Seriously. Someone put one of the beat reporters put a tweet out just like how many coaches have changed since like DA got hired till now. And it's like, you got no excuses, man. Absolutely not. So we'll see. But hashtag show me. Hashtag reality season. Hashtag I need to see it. But we'll be back this weekend at some point doing a live show. We'll have someone from the community on joining us and just chopping it up with us. We appreciate y'all for being supportive. And when it's dead season, it's 1 a.m. where Ryan is right now. So we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. With that, we're out.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.